Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
This morning with David Slack. Morena, David. How are you?
Morena, Rachel. I'm good. The world's on fire, but we can cope.
Exactly. It is a bit of a strange and awful time, isn't it? Hey, we're going to talk about a few big topics at the moment. Touch on the media. Also about what maybe in the future, once we get out the other side of this crisis, what kind of sustainable economies we might want to see. And also Bernie Sanders as well. So should we start with the media? Because this one's been huge recently. What's going on at the moment, David?
I've got a feel. I've sort of come around to a point of view that's a little bit apocalyptic, but I think maybe this is where we need to be now. We've had a problem for a long time, as everybody would be aware, of local media struggling for advertising because the social media giants like Google and Facebook have sucked it all out. Mm. So you already had a huge structural problem. Then you got this pandemic cutting off all of the local advertising almost completely, and the big organisations have really struggled to cope with it. And we've seen Bauer pull out, which was probably just cover and pretext for them. It's a very wealthy German company. They could have kept going if they needed to, but there was, you know, the long-term prognosis was bad, so they couldn't. They weren't making a buck on it, so they wanted out. You've got the same problem with Stuff to some degree. You've got it with MediaWorks to some degree. You've got it with NZME to some degree. Question is, what's going to happen to all of those? And my apocalyptic proposition is, let it all just burn to the ground. And here's why I say it. Arguably, that's standing in those large lumbering organisations are standing in the way of a more efficient, leaner, smaller media landscape being able to operate here. Because we know that there's a huge demand for media still. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's hard to make it pay. And part of the reason it's hard to make it pay is because you've got these big, large organizations with a lot of expensive people in them.
Mm.
And it makes it, and paying big rents and all of those, you know, other attendant costs. What I'm essentially saying is, let's save journalism, not suits. And if you just have the likes of Newsroom or Spinoff, which are essentially digital, and don't have that huge overhead burden that Stuff and MediaWorks and NZME have, you can do a lot. And you can't do exactly what you were doing before. And what I'm implying here is that television doesn't really get much of a chance. But you've got TVNZ, which is relatively solid. And if you're happy to watch, get your news through TV at 6 o'clock with somebody talking to you like you're a 5-year-old, well, knock yourself out. Just get stuck in. I haven't watched that stuff for years. and the same goes for the drama. As you can see, I'm a bit jaded, but I don't bloody care. you know, I think that there are great prospects for new media here.
Yeah.
And arguably, getting the old media out of the way would aid that.
Whatever happens to the media landscape at the moment, there's going to have to be some sort of support from the government to get anything across the line in the next wee while. What are some of the options you can sort of see maybe being pursued here?
I know that some of the things they've been talking about are a contestable fund like NZ On Air for journalism, which might be, you know, if you were to put somewhere between 30 and 100 million into that, you could get a lot of journalism for that. One suggestion has been a loan to these lumbering organisations. That might help, or a huge ad buy. That might help.
Mm-hmm.
But and you might see it. There are, as I understand it, there have been crisis talks, and maybe that's what we will see. But in terms of what I was saying a moment ago, I'm not sure that that money will be well spent, really, because I think you're staving off the inevitable. And it takes me back to what happened to farming in the Roger Nomitz era. You know, it was hugely, hugely painful. But farming was utterly unsustainable on the basis that it had been operating for the preceding 10 years. And what came out of it was much more viable farming. Now, that's not to diminish the pain that people went through, and but in fact, you'd arguably have less pain if you did the comparable thing here with media than you did with that then,
well,
for what it's worth.
Speaking of sustainability, shall we turn to our second topic, which is kind of looking, I guess, a little bit into the future. Once we get out of this immediate crisis period that we're in right now, this is obviously going to have huge economic ramifications for us for a long, long time, and that's years here, really. What would you like to see in terms of regrowth for the economy, but also for, you know, infrastructure around our cities and around our country that kind of can reflect maybe some sort of green economy? Because I know this has been something that people have been discussing a lot in the last couple of weeks since this kicked off.
Yeah, the immediate thing that appeals here is that, you know, very likely we're going to have closed borders until there's a vaccine, or, you know, very limited borders.
Mm.
And that arguably gives us a chance to do some experimenting with a more self-sufficient economy, more local manufacturing, more local operations. But it also gives us a chance to experiment somehow with consuming and producing less stuff, you know? What we've experienced in lockdown is not going to the mall all the time and buying more stuff, and we don't need it. And that is a large pattern. I would argue we don't especially need it. I would argue that the experience shows us actually there are other things you can do to enjoy your life that are less to do with rampant consumption, and that has been a large part of our problem. Now, maybe you could get a change of behaviour in that, I don't know, but if you're reorienting people to, for example, the tourism that now has to happen here rather than going overseas,
mm-hmm.
if you're putting people into the bush more, if you're putting them more into huts, if they're experiencing that rather than the mall, then you've got a whole change of way of life that could be valuable. And, of course, if everybody's moving around the country doing that, then you've got something for the people who are working in tourism to keep on operating,
mm-hmm.
and that's desirable. But that takes me to my next point, which is I'm not sure that tourist jobs were actually the best idea for us. Paul Callaghan said years ago that we needed to be diversifying into more high-value businesses. Rather than tourism, that it was a kind of a fool's gold. And we've certainly seen that in the experience we've just had, because we were depending on the overseas businesses for it.
Mm.
Well, what this all comes around to is trying to get some of the more interesting enterprise going in various aspects of science and clean technology and agriculture, because those are our strengths. So it'd be great to see all of that happen.
Yeah.
But there's a question attendant to that, and that is, do you have enough people with enough capability and skills to be doing the jobs there? And the answer is no, not exactly. And that takes us to a universal basic income, so that you give people some means of sustaining themselves while we try and make a transformation to that kind of goal.
Yeah.
So, I'm doing broad brushes here, obviously. We don't have a lot of time, and you want to get to Bernie.
We do want to talk about Bernie,
my quick prescription.
I think that's a really interesting point. We're going to maybe have to see some new or adapted forms of welfare to maybe adapt the way we are as a workforce, which is a really interesting point, David. But let's talk a little bit about Bernie, just briefly, because it's sort of broken overnight that Bernie Sanders has dropped out of the 2020 Democratic candidate race over in America, which means that Joe Biden is now the sort of, I guess, front runner on the way to Democratic nomination. What's this going to mean, do you think, going into an eventual election, if we do have Biden as the Democratic candidate over in America?
Well, there are two ways of looking at it. One is that he has this broadest appeal, and maybe and he talks with sanity and he relates, and that will be enough. The other is that he's just not galvanizing enough, and that people will feel a little bit meh in the way they did about Hillary Clinton. Both of those are possibilities. Neither of them we know for sure. There was an authoritative poll out last night, had him ahead of Trump overall and vastly ahead in the African-American vote, and that has, you know, been a large argument in his favour all along. You don't get Bernie Sanders because, arguably, we can't have good things. I would just say that. There are a lot of the people listening to this station who I know would
probably
very keen to see that kind of change.
Yeah. But yeah, it will be, yeah, very interesting to see how that unfolds. Hey, it's been a pleasure to talk to you this morning, David, and some really interesting points that you've raised there too. So I'm sure we'll touch on those again next time we chat to you.
By all means.
Hey, take care. We'll talk to you soon.
And you. Cheers, Rachel. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
You certainly